Let's give Pastor Byron a hand for leading us in corporate prayer this morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. Did you enjoy your breakfast? Give Eric a hand and his staff. Before we get started with the mentoring session today, you can see that we opened up in prayer this morning. And we're going to start incorporating corporate prayer in our mentoring sessions every other Tuesday. If you notice that Pastor mentioned at the beginning of the year that he wanted us to all come together and pray corporately for different things. And we wanted to leverage the time in our mentoring sessions. If you'll remember, we started doing it on Wednesday, but we really wanted to leverage our time. And since we had everybody together here on Tuesdays, we decided that this would be a good time for us to have corporate prayer. Also, on every day, the employees were coming in to pray, but everybody's not here because of the flex schedules and other things that go on, and so we really weren't getting the most out of our prayer time. So this is a good opportunity for us to just get together and pray corporately every other Tuesday. Did you guys enjoy that? Great, great. We're also doing some additional prayer during the week that you'll find out about a little bit later. But just make sure that we get here at 9 o'clock on Tuesdays because we'll begin prayer promptly. Also, this morning, I want to recognize some birthdays. Well, first, I want to recognize some new employees that we have in the house. Now, when I say your names, don't be afraid to stand up because the hard part is already over. You went through the interview. You got the job. The hard part is already over. Pastor Mike is just Pastor Mike. You don't have to be afraid of him. Trust me. No, I'm just teasing. But anyway, just a little humor. Just a little humor. But will Michelle Scott please stand up? We know your name, but can you tell everybody what you do? Great. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Michael Hunter, would you stand? Can you tell us what you do? Oh. All right. Yay. We're glad to have you. And Linda Arnold, will you stand? And can you tell us what you do? Okay. Bridge staff, great. Let's give her a hand. Okay. All right. We have some birthdays coming up this week. May 10th, Thursday, is Jermaine Spann's birthday. Will you stand up? Jermaine, I know you don't like it. It's okay. We're going to sing happy birthday to Jermaine. Stevie, well, what version do you want, Jermaine? Okay. Do y'all want Stevie Wonder? Okay. And we want you to dance. Jermaine, you have to come up in the front. Per the CEO, Dr. Michael D. Moore, and the Vice President, Michael K. Moore, you must come. And the one and only lady, Miss Kenitha Moore, you got to come up to the front. Yes. All right. Jermaine is coming out of this comfort zone, so we got to make him feel comfortable. All right. Yes. So we got to sing happy birthday to Jermaine. Everybody stand up. Here we go. All right. Y'all ready? Stevie Wonder style. Jam now, y'all. We're giving him a party. On the count of three. One, two, three. Happy birthday to ya. Dance your May Day to ya. Happy birthday. Oh, come on, Jermaine. To ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Come on. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Woo! Yeah, his birthday is Thursday, May 10th. All right, y'all ready to get started? It's been a long time. Did you guys miss us? At least you didn't lie. Well, we definitely missed you. We're going to start this morning by doing an activity that's called Stand By Your Quote. Education and Development has an awesome, awesome team. And I'd like to introduce my team member at this time, Miss Stephanie Henry. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike is going to be talking about leadership today. I don't know if when you came in, you noticed there are big quotes on the wall. I want everyone to stand. All right, what I want every person in here to do is to go by each and every quote. Read it, think about it, ponder it on each one, and then decide which one speaks of leadership to you personally. Which one identifies with your personal thoughts and view of leadership. Once you pick that one, I want you to stand by it. But first, just read each of them. Okay, ready, go. Can you raise your hand if you're still undecided? Has everyone picked an area? All right, now that you're there in your groups, I would like one spokesperson from each area. It's nothing too deep. The spokesperson is all you're going to do is tell why you think that is more leadership than the others. Oh, well, okay. Yes, you did when you're standing by it. Okay, they're all different aspects of leadership. Okay. All right. Each quote represents a different aspect of leadership. But one, in my thinking, the reason you're standing by one is you thought that one was more of it or a predominant theme of leadership versus the others. Like if you had to put these in an order of 1, 2, 3, 4, you should be standing by your one. Is everybody with me? Let me say that one more time. Each of these represents a different aspect of leadership. If you had to categorize these in first, second, third, fourth, stand by the one that you would place in first place. Is that clear? Are we talking about leadership in general? Yes, leadership in general, your personal view of leadership in general.
Hold on.
If you're going to be the spokesperson for your group. Okay, hold what you got. Okay, we have four different quotes. Okay, the first one talks about pulling out greatness. Okay, it's the first one says that greatness is in your team, in your people, but you have to pull it out. Okay. The second one talks about inspiring people. You got to inspire them to make them want to do more, better, greater. All right. The third one talks about looking at people where they are. If you have a low performer and a high performer, you want the low performer to go higher. You want the high performer to go even higher, greater. And then the last one talks about not fighting a battle alone. So having help to accomplish whatever it is you're doing. Does that make sense? All right, so now, does everyone understand what I'm asking? Just one person from each group to say why you think that's a little bit more important than the others. Okay, which group wants to go first? All right, Mr. Will Anderson.
Okay, on this one about people doing poorly, it's more people-driven. So what we're doing is we're focusing more on a person who may not, they got the potential, but we're focusing more on the person that's doing poorly to strive them to do better because they can. So you're more concerned about their needs and helping them build them up. So it's more people driven on that one about, well, the person with needs is person, people driven needs or something like that. Driven person.
I was looking along the line of motivation. Being able to motivate those who may not feel or think that they can do the job. getting them to the place where they're where they feel like they're capable of doing the job, pulling that inner strength in them to see themselves moving ahead and doing better.
I agree with you all, and for this one as well, it kind of meets the person where they are. If they happen to be a mid-performer, the leader meets them and addresses their needs where they are so that they can rise up. Next group. Yes, ma'am.
My group, personally, my life mission statement is to inspire and empower. So I saw as this being more of my leadership style because I dig deep into that inner core of that person. It helps them to see who they really are from the inside out.
Okay. Anyone else want to add?
I think great leadership is not just telling, but it's being an example. And I think this quote speaks to that. It talks about your personal actions first, and that inspiring other people to follow you. So it's not just telling them something, it's being something, and that bringing people on to follow you from what you are or what you're doing.
Okay, great point. Next group. Okay.
Our quote is, the task of leadership is not to put greatness into people, but to elicit it, for the greatness is there already. And if we stop as Christians and leaders and think about God created us in his image, therefore the greatness is there already. And personally, if people hadn't told me from the time I was a child that I could do and be better, I never would have tried to do and be better because there were so many things that were trying to keep me from doing and being better. And I'm not the only person that has felt that way. So I feel like it's our job to encourage people to do all that they can do and be all that they can be.
Okay. Anybody else want to share?
I think ours does what the rest of them do as well. I'm sorry. It does. It touches on the part of being the example. It touches on the part of meeting people where they are and bringing them up, bringing that greatness out of them. Because you may have someone who doesn't even know that they have potential. You may have someone who's been in it for a while and they can go even higher. So I think this one does it all.
Okay. And my group on the end.
I would say that no general can fight his battles alone. He must depend upon his lieutenants, and his success depends upon his ability to select the right man for the right place. And I believe that this one encompasses all as well. But if you're going to fight, you need people on your team, and you can't just do it by yourself. You need others. You need to solicit others, and you need to be a good leader because you need to be able to pull out what's in them to be on your team. You have to be a team person to connect with. You have to be a good leader to connect with the people that are up under you, and you have to elicit the greatness that's already on the inside of them. So if you're a general and you're leading a pack, well, you have to do all of that to accomplish that big thing.
Okay. This exercise, everybody, was to get you in touch with your personal view of leadership as Pastor Mike adds a fuller picture to that. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Am I on, Corey? Am I good? Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank Stephanie and Melinda for that exercise. I want to welcome again all of the new employees and workers, and we're glad to have y'all. And I say this all the time, it's my prayer and it's my desire And I pray that it be yours, that this be the best job you ever had, that you enjoy being here, enjoy working, and that you not just be a blessing to us, but that the organization be a blessing to you. Amen. Well, we're going to start another module. In the last module, we talked about strategic planning, and I was very satisfied with how that went. In this module, we're going to talk about leadership. Couple of things I want to mention to you so you'll understand our process of what we're trying to do. Number one, leadership is a broad thing. I mean, it's just huge. It's just huge. So we're meeting every other Tuesday, which gives us an opportunity to look at this leadership thing. But to get our hands around it, we're moving from a broad perspective on leadership. And then we'll later on, may not even be this year, but later on we get into more specific areas. When I talk about specific areas, I'm talking about areas like conflict management, goal setting, motivating, empowering others, all the communication, all the specifics of it is coming down the road. But you can't start off talking specifics. I mean, you never get there. So what we're doing, we're approaching it from a general standpoint. We're just trying to put our hands around the whole subject of leadership. And then later on, we'll break it down further. Now, secondly, I want you to realize that we have another group of leaders that we're meeting with every quarter. And because we're not meeting with them as regular as we're meeting with you, it has to be even broader in that quarterly meeting. So in the quarterly meeting, we kind of, when I talked to them the first time, we did strategic planning, the whole thing in one session. Then we came back in this session and broke it down every Tuesday, broke it down. So week before last, we had another quarterly leadership, and we basically went over in a broad way what we're going to teach you. So if you were a leader in that session, you won't hear everything that we said in that session in this lesson. Because our goal now is to break it out in this section, give you an opportunity to ask questions and participate and all that. Now, leadership development is ongoing. So I don't think we ever arrive. I don't think we ever get to a point where we got this thing down. It's an ongoing process. So you should be ever, ever learning. Brother Copeland said something that blessed me many years ago. He said, one word from God can change your life. In a session where we go from 9 to 12 and we're covering a lot of information, if you don't approach it from the angle of taking what you get, I mean, that speaks to you and apply to your life, it can seem a little overwhelming because it's a lot of information. But even when I preach on Sundays and Wednesdays, folk don't get everything I'm saying. There's no way you can get everything I'm saying. Pete and I listened to my message that I preached Sunday on the way to work this morning. And I said something, and Pete said, you know, I didn't hear you say that. Well, I did say it. It was on the tape. But because there's so much information, you don't always get it all. So what I'm saying is you don't have to get it all. I mean, it's an ongoing thing. You don't have to get everything that's said. But you should get something that you embrace. This is mostly classroom stuff here. This is most classroom. There are different ways to learn, and classroom is not the only way to learn. But this is the way we're approaching it right now. Where you're going to really learn this stuff is when you apply it. I mean, where it's going to really become a part of you is where you take the principle and apply it in your life. for example, we talked on strategic planning and SWOT analysis. And most of you now, you do a SWOT analysis in your settings. Now it becomes a part of you. So just what we do in the classroom is not going to make you a great leader. It's you taking what you learn and applying the principle in your everyday life. Amen. So the way we're going to approach it today is I have two sessions. I have two sessions. In the first session, I'm going to be talking about what is leadership, why is leadership important. The second session is going to be the role of the leader, where we talk about leading versus management. But we'll have a break in between. I was thinking about how I was going to approach this today, and the way I think I'm going to approach it today is I'm going to teach. They gave me 40 minutes. I'm going to try to do it in less time than that. Because I want to have you get involved. I want you to participate. I want you to get involved. So after I teach, for however long I teach, I want your participation. Here's how you're going to participate. Every person that's here today, and Corey, I'm going to need a microphone after I finish. Every person that here today, you will have 30 seconds. You will have 30 seconds to share with the group a point that stood out to you, something that stood out to you, something that ministered to you. Every person will have 30 seconds to do that. Hopefully, we'll have an opportunity for you to ask questions about what was said as well. The reason I'm doing it is threefold. The reason why I'm having you to give a 30-second, like, this is what stood out to me. 30 seconds is not a sermon. It's not a long thing. I want to get through everybody, and if you go too long, I'll shut you down. But I've been doing it in love, but I'll shut you down. What I want to accomplish in this is threefold. Number one, I think leaders need to be listeners. To be a good leader, you have to listen. This is not going to be hard. It's not going to be something deep. It's just going to be an issue of listening. I mean, this, you know, technically, I give the answers, you regurgitate it, you communicate it back. It's just being a good listener. Second thing that I want to do is I think that leaders should be communicators. I think that a leader needs to know how to have an idea, a thought, and communicate that thought in a succinct way where folk can get it. So that's what I'm shooting for. Listening, communication, and then confidence. I want to help you develop your confidence. Now, I know everybody won't be standing over a group of people like this, but you have to be confident to be a leader. So when you come up here, I don't want any excuses. I don't want none of that negative body language. I don't want you communicating that you don't know what you're doing. I don't want you to get up here and communicate that you don't do this well. I want you to come up here and stand like you've been doing this all your life. Fake it till you can make it. If you say anything that communicates you shouldn't be up here, then I'm going to stop you and correct you. So I want you to stand up here, no excuses, with confidence, and just share what you got out of the lesson. We don't want to know that you're not a speaker. We don't want to know that you're not used to doing this. I want that. I don't want any of that. I just want you to communicate what you got out of the lesson, because I want to help you develop your confidence. Now, for some of you, it's no big deal. But for others, you, it's huge. And I know it's huge. Well, the issue is you can't break fear and timidity and whatever you want to call it until you put pressure on yourself to move outside of your comfort zone. If you move outside of your comfort zone long enough, then outside of your comfort zone becomes your comfort zone. So that's a part of what we're doing, okay? So It's not, I'm not really technically looking for right and wrong answers, but they're just different things that I want to accomplish with this, and I think it's going to be a blessing for you. Amen? You ready to get started? Okay. Some things I'll just go right down the sheet. Other things, I got notes. I got my red. So you got to have your little computer, whatever you do, where you're taking notes, your pen or pad or whatever you do, and you got to add the stuff that I tell you to add that's not in your manual. Everybody ready to go with this?
Yes.
Let's talk about what is leadership. Corey, can you start my clock over? I don't know where I am, but it's going to all work out. If I'm working on the front side, I'm working on the back side. Okay. No, give me less time. Put 30. Let's see how that works. First question is what is leadership? I want to give you two words how we define leadership. The first word is influence. What is leadership? Leadership is influence. I think it's John Maxwell who I first heard communicate that leadership was influence. Say influence. The second definition of leadership, and this is not in your thing, is that leadership is service. Say service. Now, I want to read from the Kingdom New Testament. It's a contemporary translation. I read the Bible through different translations. Right now I'm reading through the Moffat translation. But I was reading through this different translation, and here's where I get the service thing from. Jesus called his disciples arguing one day, and he asked them what they were arguing about, but he already knew they was arguing about who was the greatest, you know, who's the boss in there. And then Jesus called this in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 42. Jesus called them to him, and this is what he said. You know how it is in the pagan nations or the Gentile nations. He said, think how their so-called rulers act. They lord it over their subjects. The high and mighty ones boss the rest around. But that's not how it's going to be with you. Anyone who wants to be great among you must become your servant. Anyone who wants to be first must be everyone's slave. Don't you see the Son of Man didn't come to be waited on. He came to be the servant, to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus contrasted the world's way of leadership against the kingdom way of leadership. And he's saying in the world, when you're leading people, you're the head, it's about bossing folk around. You're lording over people and bossing them around. But he said, that's not the way I want you to lead in the kingdom. Leading in the kingdom is about serving people. So your assignment as a leader, you're over an area or will be over an area. Your assignment is to serve the people that's under you. It's not your assignment to just run people all over the place and, you know, they serve you. And I think that's an important truth that we got to get, because we've kind of missed it a little bit. We kind of miss it a little bit in the kingdom. You look at people that are really leaders, it's kind of like telling everybody what to do and everybody serving them and all this kind of stuff. And sometimes people think that I don't appreciate what they're trying to do for me. I do appreciate what they're trying to do for me. But I want to maintain a certain attitude. I don't want to have an attitude like that. I think it's important for you to protect your attitude, especially when you have a title. Even I have my aides, and these brothers really serve me. I mean, they love pastor, and they really serve pastor. But I tell them, don't get too close to me. I want you, I don't want you standing too close to me like that. You know, I don't want that. You know, I was walking out of the sanctuary. It's a little thing. I'm walking out the sanctuary, and they be trying to grab my Bible and stuff like that. I wait till I get behind the thing and give them my Bible. I don't want people, I don't want to send that message. You know, sometimes we can just send the wrong message. See, I can take my Bible from this point to that point. I mean, it's not that deep. I mean, you ain't got to carry my Bible from this point to that point. You know, you see people, I see people a lot of times, this is just my personal opinion, okay? So don't take this and throw it off on nobody. I'm just telling you what my philosophy is. You know, I see people, they go to meetings and they're not even the speaker. And got all these PPAs and stuff like that and AIDS. You know, I tell Ronald them all the time, if I'm going to a meeting, I don't need that, man. I'm not the speaker. Listen, I'm headed here to get, I don't want nobody serving me. I don't want that. I'm going to a meeting. I don't need 3 or 4 aides around me to go to a meeting, you know. Somebody following you to the bathroom and all that. You know, and women get the same thing. You know, the pastor's wife, they got the servants, they follow them to the bathroom. And, you know, it's just some of that stuff is just too deep. I'm just telling you, it's just a little too deep. And so that's not that I don't mind folk serving and helping me, but I'm trying to keep myself where I don't get caught up in like that. I just don't want to get that mentality that I can't go anywhere. I got to have 4 or 5 folk around me. It's deep. Okay, that's personal opinion. Maybe that's too much of my opinion. But anyway, I want you to lead like me. Yeah, I want you to lead just like I lead. You know, if I don't have to have all that, you ain't got to have it either. I mean, you ain't got to have all that. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, 2 words. Leadership is what? Influence. Leadership is service. Now, let's look at the second question. How can leadership positively impact the organization's performance? You know, a lot of times, it's not just what's in this manual. I'm teaching all the time. Even that scenario about I don't want all them folk around me, carry my Bible everywhere I go and all that kind of stuff. If I need it, got too much in my hand, carry my Bible. But if I don't need you, let me carry my own Bible. Well, see, I'm making an impression on you. That ain't in the manual. But I'm making an impression on you. I want you to think differently. I want you to think worldly. Because some of you ain't going to be around here. You're going to be doing other things. God called you to do other things. And you don't want to go out there and just be worldly. You know, you just don't want to be worldly. So everything is not just in the manual. Believe it or not, that made an impression on some of y'all. Mm-hmm. Didn't it? Well, that's what this is all about. My job, I'm trying to make an impression on you. And I'm trying to do it on purpose. Now, the second question is, how can leadership positively impact the organization's performance? Now, leadership is going to impact the organization's performance. So that's not the question. The question is not, will leadership impact the organization's performance? The question is, how can leadership positively impact the organization's performance? Now, here's the answer, not in your manual. Here's the answer. Leadership can positively impact the organization by an awareness of and mastery of 3 domains of leadership. 3 domains of leadership. Leaders have to play on 3 playing fields. 3 playing fields. That's what I mean by domain. You have to, as a leader, be aware of these playing fields. And then you have to master these three playing fields. When you understand these three areas, then you self-assess. See, you self-assess. Leaders have to always self-assess. Now, we'll be putting things in place where we have 360s and all these things, performance evaluations and all these things, and you'll be finding out what the people you lead think about you. But good leaders don't just wait for folk to find out, folk communicate feedback. You should be constantly self-assessing yourself on a regular basis, constantly attempting to improve yourself on a regular basis. The three playing fields or the three domains of leadership is credibility, competence, and consequence. Credibility, competence, and what? Consequence. Credibility, competence, consequence. Credibility is a matter of character, and it earns the right to lead. Credibility is a matter of character, and it earns the right to lead. It's your leadership equity. It's how much leaders trust, how much followers trust you. How much followers trust you. It's important that followers trust you. The moment you have a follower cease to trust you, you cease to lead that follower. So to this degree, it is important what people think about you. Like some people say, well, I don't care what they think about me. Well, it's important what your followers think about you. If people under you, it is important what they think about you. So if you got a mindset that doesn't matter to me what folks think about me, and they following you, then you're in trouble. You don't understand how the game is played. So credibility is a matter of character. It earns the right. You the right to lead. Leadership is your leadership equity. It's how much followers trust you. See, authority to lead can be delegated. See, we can put you over thing and give you a title and say you're the director of this, you're the team lead, you're the head of this, you're the manager of this. But trust has to be earned. The organization cannot make people under you trust you. That's your responsibility. Come on, say that's my responsibility. And if people under you don't trust you, then you need to find out why they don't trust you. You have a major problem if they don't trust you, and you need to find out why they're struggling with you. Pull your ego in. Pull your ego in. Because the issue with you is you want to lead people a certain direction, and if they don't trust you, you can't lead them. So the first playing field is credibility. It can undermine everything else you do. It can undermine your competence. It can even undermine the consequences, positive consequences that you create. Somebody else will be enjoying your consequences. Did you understand that statement? You understand that statement? I see some people saying yes. And I see some people saying no. Credibility comes before consequences in the list. Credibility, competence, consequences. Credibility, or lack thereof, can undermine the next two, your competence and the consequences, positive consequences that you create. Now I'm seeing heads shake. Any heads going that way? I added a little thing, and I said that others will enjoy your consequences. I think that was the part that maybe threw people. Anybody don't know what I mean by that? Come on, talk to me, y'all. This ain't nobody looking at you. Ain't nobody looking at you. This ain't that deep. Get over yourself. Don't sit there and be ignorant and look like you know the answer and you don't know the answer. Wait for somebody. I can go on something and you don't get the answer. Anybody don't know what I'm talking about?
Can you repeat the statement?
Elaborate. Let's say that you're a very confident leader and you create very positive consequences, but you have a credibility problem down the road, a character problem, and you are removed. And you created all this stuff and got all this stuff done, and somebody else is put in over your area. Now they're enjoying your consequences. Does that make sense now? Yes, ma'am. Right. No, I'm not just talking about taking all the credit for it. I'm talking about overseeing it. Yeah. I have a moral failure for teacher purpose only. I have a moral failure. I fail morally. Y'all put somebody else here, Mike Kay, somebody else, come in and be the pastor. And yet God used me to build all this. And somebody else end up enjoying the consequences.
Can they, could you say, reap the benefits?
Because of a credibility issue. Does that make sense? Yes, ma'am. I got you. Well, I'll give you a definition of consequences, but consequences are not negative. Consequences are moral. They can be negative or positive. You make good decisions, you have positive consequences. You make bad decisions, you have bad negative consequences. So, credibility, y'all got that as a matter of what?
Character.
Competence is a matter of skill and earned respect. When you're good at what you do, people respect you. You know, Tiffany has been teaching the Zumba and all that kind of stuff, and different people have been coming up to me talking about the Zumba class and how Tiffany's working them out and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Well, if you know what you're doing, you're good at what you're doing, people respect you. If you don't know what you're doing, even if you got the title for it, and even if nobody say anything to you, they are not going to respect you. They're going to be nice to you, but they ain't going to respect you. Competence is where you get the respect. And then consequences, here's how I define consequences. It's something that follows an action. A consequence is something that follows an action. And since it's something that follows an action, it can be something that's good or something that bad. The consequences that I'm talking about is, I'm talking about results, value, and impact. Say that.
Results, value, impact.
So consequence is a matter of results achieved, the area you're over, the area you're over, the results that you achieve, the area you're over, the results that you achieve, the value your area add to, the value that student ministries add to the organization, the value that children's ministry add, the value that fine arts add to that, consequences. And then thirdly, impact, the impact we as leaders have on the careers and the lives of those we lead. The impact that we have over the careers and the lives of those we lead. If it's volunteers, you're having people under you are volunteers, then you're impacting them as volunteers. You may not be impacting their career because they may be employed somewhere else, but you're still impacting them. Does that make sense? But if you are a leader and the people under you, now it gets real heavy now. if you are a leader and the people under you are in full-time ministry, then your leadership is not just impacting their emotional state. Your leadership is impacting their career. It's impacting their livelihood. It's impacting their mortgage payment. It's impacting their ability to pay their bills. So that becomes very weighty when you understand that people under you, your decisions will impact their career, their life. That's heavy stuff. Any way you look at that, that's heavy. Now, a lot of times people be praying for more influence and more responsibility, you know, and more people, and I want all this stuff. But it gets real weighty. It gets real weighty the higher up you get and the more exposure you have to people and the more people come in full time. It gets really weighty. And that's why you have to really be a student of leadership, because you can impact their career in a positive way. You can impact their career in a negative way. Let's go to the next major question. Why is leadership important? Why is leadership important? There's several key reasons why leadership is important. I'm going to go down the list. Excellent leaders, number one, provide direction and focus at an individual and team level. Provide direction and focus. Direction that we're going to be going in, and the focus in terms of establishing priorities. Leaders have to give direction. Leaders have to establish priorities. If leaders don't do that, then the people will channel their energies in less productive ways. People will just be all over the place. Leaders have to set priorities and give directions. Secondly, excellent leaders ensure the climate in which people work is positive. This is so important that I'm going to come back to it. Thirdly, excellent leaders ensure that the right resources are available and applied to the most appropriate activities. Now, here's a question. What if you don't have all the resources in your area that you need, or all the resources in your area that you want? Well, if you find yourself in that position where you're leading a group of people, or you're leading a department, you're leading the area, but you don't have all the resources that you need or want, here's what you do as a leader. You lead. That's the answer. You lead. You don't stop leading because you don't have the resources. You don't go to your group and say, you know, we could do this, but they, folk up there, they ain't giving us nothing. No, that's not leading. That's complaining. The followers under you should never pick up that from you. They should never pick up that attitude. If they start looking at a they against us, it's because the leader put that in them. If people in your area have this they against us mentality, it's because you didn't lead. It's because you complained. Because the follower shouldn't know anything about them up there. The leader over this area should protect them up there. The way you lead, what do? You maximize what you have. You maximize what you have so that the people over you can never say you wasted resources. You did the best. Now you got an argument. You can say, I can't make brick without straw. Now I can't make brick without straw, but I took what you gave me and I did the best for it, right? And then you become creative as a leader. How can I creatively take these kind of resources here and maximize it? That's all you do. You lead. You don't complain. You don't talk about they ain't giving me this. You don't do that. You go right in your meeting and say, listen, these are the resources we got right now. We believe we'll have more resources later, but this is what we got right now. We're going to do a good job with that. Now, everybody under you stays positive because you didn't sold that into the followers. So a lot of things you see going on in ministries where people discontent and stuff like that is because people over them didn't lead. They didn't lead. They complained or were discontented. And sometimes we don't say it, but we sure show it. Our body language complete. We ain't satisfied with this thing at all. When you get to the point where you can't lead people, you should resign. When you get to the point where you're so discontent, where you can't lead people positively, you should resign. Because believe it or not, at that point you begin to sow discord. You say, well, I didn't mean to sow discord, but you did. Because if everybody under you discontented, and everybody in your group now think these folk over here, pastor and all these other folk, ain't got it together, it's because you led them that way. You didn't keep us together. You didn't protect us. Now, it might have been right. You ain't have all the resources, you know. But you can't make brick without straw. I tell people all the time. I tell you all the time. People report to me, listen, if I don't give you what you need, I'm not going to hold you accountable for what I didn't give you. It's just that simple. So it shouldn't be no complaining because I'm not going to hold you accountable for what I didn't get. All you got to do is show me I didn't give you what you need. All you got to do is show me what I communicated what I need, but you didn't give me what I need, okay? Then fine, you're in good shape. But we're never right to complain, especially down. If you're going to talk, talk up. Never talk down. Come on, say that. Never talk down.
Never talk down.
Number four, inspire people so they remain motivated and committed. We'll get into motivation and stuff later. Recognize and develop people, that's huge. That's huge. Recognizing and developing people, getting people off the bench, getting people plugged in, not just waiting for folk to send you somebody, looking, always looking for people. And then ensure decisions are made effectively so things happen. Now, I talk a little bit about number two. I think one of the areas that leaders often neglect or somehow not realize that they're responsible for, and that's ensuring the climate in which people work is positive. Climate here is how it feels to work around here. And I'm saying that the leader is primarily responsible for the climate. If things are really bad around here, I hold myself responsible for that. Climate is very, very important. Now, things that contribute to a positive climate is role clarity. Everybody on your team should know what their role is. It creates a positive climate. Empowerment, letting folk do stuff, creates a positive climate. Trusting people, it helps create a positive climate. Recognizing people's contribution, when something good happens, you tell everybody, so-and-so did this, we thank everybody for this idea. Inger thought about this, and we just thank God for Inger today. That was a great idea, Inger. That was wonderful. Well, it creates a climate. People realize that their contribution is going to be supported and recognized. When a leader take credit for what other folk do, it destroys their motivation. Supporting, developing, training people, it creates a positive climate. So a leader is, I think, primarily responsible for climate. Primarily. So I have a little chart that we'll look at later, but this is how it works. You have leadership behavior at this level. That's you and your behavior as a leader. At the next level, you have climate. Leaders responsible for climate. At the next level, you have individual motivation. I know the followers should have some internal motivation, but I'm saying leaders can create a climate that will enhance their motivation, make them want to do it. And then you got organizational performance. So up here you got leadership behaviors. The way you behave as a leader impacts the climate, impacts individual motivation, impacts organizational performance. Let's look at letter B. The people working for an excellent leader can experience numerous positive benefits. The people will understand their role and how the work they do contribute to the overall goals. The people under you should feel a sense of worth about their role. The people under you should have been encouraged to take their own personal development seriously. Number four, the people under you will be confident they can ask questions, make suggestions, provide feedback, knowing they will be listened to. So every leader have to ask themselves the question, can the people under me ask a question? Can they give a suggestion? Can they give feedback? Are you secure enough to receive feedback from the people you're following? Do you want it? Do you want feedback? Are you willing to ask the people that's following you, how am I doing? How am I doing? What do you think are my areas of strength? What do you think are my areas of weakness? What do you think about me? You know, I'm going through a quarterly assessment with everybody now, and I've talked with Jermaine, talked with Byron, talked with Pete. I'm talking with Michael today, and then I got Sharonita sometime this week. But that's on the thing, the list. My individual strengths, what are my individual strengths? What do you think my weaknesses are? I think leaders should ask the people that under them. I told Byron the other day, Byron said something to me. It wasn't nothing negative either. But he pointed out something that he felt could help me connect to the outside world, not just here at the church, but some behavior changes I will have to make to walk in all this other stuff that I'm saying. I told him another night, I said, one day I'll be able to tell you how much that blessed me. Can't tell you right now. It won't even register with him right now if I told him right now, but one day I'll be able to tell him how much that benefited me, what he said. Well, it's not a bad thing, people showing stuff about you. It's not a bad thing. Let people show you stuff about you. I mean, ask them the questions. They feel they can, number five, take calculated, manage an appropriate risk and feel they're supported. They know they're trusted and empowered to act. They feel an appropriate level of stretch and challenge in their work. They feel encouraged, involved, supported, and develop. Now, here's what I told the people in the quarter leadership, and I tell you the same thing. And you may want to put this in your notes. If you are over a group of people, ask those under you these statements in a question form. Take these eight things and ask them a question. The people under you. Come up with some and ask the people, do you understand your role? Do you feel a sense of worth? Do you feel that you can ask questions, give feedback? Do you feel like you can take risks? Do you feel like you're empowered? Do you feel like I'm trusting you? Put this in a question form and ask the people under you these questions. That's how you make this practical. Was that you, Miriam? Who was that? Was that you say you did it? You say you did it? You said that to your people? Yeah, we said it. Is they here now? Let's see that you do that. Let's find out. Did Miriam say that to anybody in your group? Y'all leaving her out there now. Y'all got her out there on that hook. I mean, anybody? Okay. Well, to make it practical, you got to take it and use it. And you're going to be just absolutely amazed at what you get from it. It's just going to really bless you. It's going to really help you. Write this down. Great leaders connect with people through relationship, because it is a relationship that creates trust in the leader. I'll say it 2 or 3 times. Great leaders connect with people through relationship, because it is a relationship that creates trust in the leader. I'm going to say it one more time, or you got it. Great leaders connect with people through relationship, because it is relationship that creates trust in the leader. Here's another thing that I want you to write down. I've said it before, but I want you to write it down, because repetition is the key to learning. The true measure of the quality of your leadership, the true measure of the quality of your leadership, the true measure of the quality of your leadership is the well-being, growth, and development of those you lead. The true measure of the quality of your leadership is the well-being, growth, and development of those you lead. So the true measure of your leadership is not just that you get tasks done. The true measure of your leadership is the well-being, the growth, and the development of the people that you're leading, the people that's under you. How are they doing? Are they developing? Are they growing? One last point under this is on the next page, and there's a tip. I think it's a good tip. Let's read it together. As a leader, so as a leader, you may need to pull yourself back from interfering with the delivery and instead focus on getting the very most from those responsible and experienced at delivering. The next time you're about to get involved in the details, make a conscious effort to step back and focus on the big picture. This tip has to do with role clarity. It has to do with role clarity. The role clarity of the leader and the role clarity of the follower. If you're the leader, you've got to know what your role is first. Then you have to clarify what the role of the follower is. In the context here, getting the most out of those who are responsible for the delivery is the role of the leader. Right? The big picture is the what? Role of who? The big picture is the role of the leader. The leader needs to know what the big picture is. And the leader's job is to get the most out of the people that's following. The followers are responsible for the delivery. And the followers are responsible for the details. Sometimes the leader get caught up in the details. And the followers walking around with their hands in their pocket. Now, I thought about something that I didn't mention in the quarterly meeting, but I mentioned it to you. There is a concept called left brain versus right brain. Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody want to tell me what that is? It is a concept, I think, developed out of psychology, that the human brain has a tissue that runs down the center of it. And there's the left side of the brain, and then there's the right side of the brain. And the left side of the brain functions and processes things differently than the right side of the brain. Now, since all of us have one brain, the belief is that we should use our whole brain. So some people say that we should manage from the left and we should lead from the right. Now, I'm gonna tell you what that is, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to put my twist on it. I'm going to put my twist on it. Left brain has to, these people are very logical in their thinking, very analytical in their thinking, very specific in their thinking. They tend to break things down. You know, they can break things. These are the mathematicians over on this side. Right brain people are more creative. It's more emotion driven, intuitive, and deal mostly with the whole of a thing. They can take the parts and capsulize it in a whole picture. And so that's why some people say you should manage with the left side of your brain and lead with the right side of your brain. And in some cases, you have to, and this kind of introduces us to that management leadership thing, but in some cases, you may have to do both of them. Now, the reason I thought it was important as it relates to this tip, if you are a leader, now follow me, if you are a leader over the thing, and you have a tendency, in other words, most people function out of one side. If you have a tendency to be very analytical and break things down, you deal with the specifics of it, then it's going to be a real challenge for you to not get into the details. Left brain folk tend to get into stuff that followers should be doing because they are analytical in their nature. Does that make sense? They find it very easy to break things down, but if you got people following you and you're trying to cast vision and give direction and at the same time trying to work out the details, you're going to undermine the motivation of the people following you. Amen. Y'all get anything out of that? We'll see, won't we? Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to stop right here. Will y'all stand? You want a break right now? Y'all on a break? Okay, we could take a little 5-minute break. We got a break set up, but we're going to take just a 5-minute break. This is a stretching break. This is not a do a whole lot break because I got another break set up for you. This is a go and come quick break.